Now we come to the so-called Sermon on the Mount. And I've already shown that it's not the Sermon on the Mount because I read in verse 17, he came down with them and stood in the plain. And if you want to give the sermon a name because of the geographical location, then you can call the one in Luke the Sermon on the Plain, and that's what it is. The similarity to Matthew, of course, indicates that he gave his teachings again and again. We do not need a harmony of the Gospels so much as we need a contrast of the Gospels. And I think this sermon, so-called, on the Mount or on the Plain, reveals the fact that our Lord gave it many, many times. Now, the remarkable thing about this sermon in Luke is not its similarities, but its dissimilarities. Not the fact that it's like the other, but that there are omissions, and there are certain inclusions, and there are blessings and woes, and there are beatitudes and judgments, and the reception of God's prophet by man here in the attitude. You have here things that were omitted from the other, and things that were included in the other and are omitted here. And I want to begin reading it, and we'll notice it as we go along. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now somebody says, well, that's just like the other, is it not? Well, yes, it is. As I say, I think he repeated again and again the so-called Sermon on the Mount. He gave it in many places. You don't have to harmonize this with the one on the Mount. It's just that he gave the same teachings, gave it in maybe a little different form. And you'll notice this is an entirely different form here. He says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And then, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." And then he has something here that's quite interesting at verse 23. "Rejoice ye that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Now let's look at that for just a moment. You have here the reception of God's prophet by man, the attitude toward him. The true prophet will speak for God, and he's persecuted. The false prophet misrepresents God, but he's patronized by man. And the result of the prophet's message, the world's attitude toward the Word, is its attitude toward God, by the way. The prophet must have the far-off vision. He must have faith in God. He must have quiet confidence, which looks beyond the things which are seen to the things which are eternal. And this is what keeps a man, of course, true to God. Now, again, let me read verse 23. "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." And here you have the poor, hungry, they weep, they are hated, they're outcast, they're reproached, they're called evil. And all you have to do is to look back in the Old Testament, see the truth of this. And I think the same is true today, by the way. The man who preaches the Word of God is going to have a rough time. And if he's not having a rough time, something's wrong. And the false prophets, they were rich, they had plenty to eat, they could laugh, they were a good fellow.